Hello, good humans, and welcome back to Self with Amanda. I am your host, Amanda Tran, and on this podcast, I share ideas, experiences, and to have conversations to explore the self. By developing our own self-awareness, we can better show up for ourselves and those around us and hopefully all live happier and healthier lives. Today's episode is about the importance of telling the truth, not only for others, but especially for ourselves. In recent years, I made a commitment to myself to always tell the truth and be honest with myself. And that came from a life of telling many, many lies. Jordan Peterson, in his Rules for Life, says what one of his rules is to always tell the truth. And if you can't tell the truth, then at least don't lie. Now, this episode is inspired by some very recent events following a little road trip that we did. And on this road trip, a car drove past and flicked some rocks into our car. And I've borrowed my mum's car. One of the rocks chipped the windscreen a little bit and I kind of freaked out because it's obviously not my car and I don't want to get into trouble. We're borrowing mum's car. And my instinct, I realized in that moment, only because it was my mum's car, was to lie about it. I thought, okay, well, we'll just get it resolved and we just won't tell her and tell my stepdad about it. We'll just cover it up, fix it, and then it'll be done and we can pretend like nothing happened. When I sat with this idea, it made my stomach turn because of this commitment that I've made to myself and the effort that I've gone to in the past few years of letting go and shedding these layers of me that have been, you know, just telling little lies, sometimes big lies, to protect myself. It didn't sit with me right, because it's not aligned with who I am anymore. So the idea of just covering it up really made me feel a lot of knots in my stomach and I didn't like the idea. Anyway, so I slept on it and decided that that's not how I wanted to conduct myself. So that's kind of the long and short of what's happened recently that brought about this idea. And it's something that I've been thinking about recording for a while. When I was young, I lied a lot. And eventually, this turned into me creating narratives around the kind of person that I was. And I guess as a kid, when I lied, a lot of it was to evade getting into trouble and, you know, saying something wasn't my fault or blaming it on my brother or whatever. And I knew inside, though, that there was a disconnect. I knew that I was lying. I knew that I was being dishonest and that there was a sensation inside of my body, in my stomach, that it didn't sit right. Even though I may have avoided getting into trouble or avoided whatever it was mostly a fear of getting into trouble. Even if I avoided that, there was something that didn't feel good, right, and what I recognize now as an adult, aligned with me, because obviously we know what the actual truth is inside of us. Now, whether a whole separate discussion is an objective truth, but at least a truth as we know it. And I believe that children, even as a child, we are fully aware of this. And of course, as adults, we are as well. So we know when something is true for us. And we know when there is a mismatch with the words that we are saying. So, as I said, my lies eventually turned into me creating narratives around the kind of person that I was. And a lot of this deceit stemmed from a place of fear. And when I say fear, what I mean is a fear of punishment, of getting into trouble. So a lot of the lies, as I said, towards my parents were about getting into trouble, a fear of not being accepted as I am, and that is about the environment that's around me, and perhaps a fear of disappointing people and letting people down based on who it was that they expected me to be. And so I guess the first thing that I've been thinking of and something that I'd ask for you to reflect on is, do you lie when you're afraid? And it can be, you know, it doesn't have to be this like big sense of fear, but it might just be a fear of disappointing your friend because you're running late, and so we come up with an excuse that isn't true. And the second question is, what are you afraid of? And I realized for myself that so many of my lies, most of them stemmed around a fear of disappointing other people, a fear of letting people down, a fear of not being able to be the person that other people wanted me to be. And then what was the result of all of these lies? So one of the biggest lies that I told throughout my life, you know, we have these kind of little white lies in a moment of, oh, I was running late because there was traffic, but actually there wasn't traffic. I just, you know, didn't set an alarm properly and lost track of time at home. And so that's why I was running late. There are these kind of little white lies, if you want to classify it as that. And then these bigger ones that, in my opinion, really impact the way that we see ourselves. And one of them for me was lying about my virginity. When I was growing up as a teenager and I had a boyfriend, you know, we were, not to get into too much information, but we were like fooling around and stuff. And I completely pretended like none of this was happening. And I created an identity for myself of who I guess a part of me wanted to be and who I was expected to be because of what I'd learned in church and in my family. My parents were super strict. And so I created this illusion of a quote unquote good girl, of someone who wasn't doing any of these things. And I just pretended like that was me. And so on the one hand, I was making out and sneaking around and we were, you know, sexually active in some ways, and yet another part of me just pretended like that wasn't happening at all. And I started to believe those stories. And eventually when I did have a partner and we had sex, again, I just pretended like it wasn't happening and I lied about it to everyone. So the only person who knew and who I was okay knowing that we were having sex, the only person who I was okay knowing that was me and my partner at the time. Everyone else around me was sold a story that I was saving myself for marriage. And, you know, perhaps to you listening, for some people, it might seem ridiculous that you would lie about something like this, you know, like I was an adult and capable of making decisions for myself. And I think perhaps there's some divide. There are people who may have grown up in the church and really understand this. And there are people who are like, that doesn't make any sense for me because, you know, yeah, as an adult, most adults are having sex. And if you're in a relationship, you're probably having sex and it's a very normal thing. But I guess the challenging thing for me to provide some context and to understand this is in the church, of course, the church is advocating for saving yourself for marriage. And you make all of these commitments to yourself, to God, in church, and the messaging around that from purely the Christian perspective is how valuable it is to save yourself, why it's so important, and that, you know, once you go there, you can't go back. There's like all this messaging around it. And then from a cultural Vietnamese perspective, there's this additional pressure because, and I think actually it extends outside of the Vietnamese culture, but kind of our society as a whole, is deeming a woman's virginity as so valuable. It's the most important thing. And in my house, my dad would preach about that, that as a woman, my virginity is so important. But for my brother, it wasn't. So there was just this disconnect and these different set of rules for me being a girl and my brother being a boy. And for me, one of those important things was remaining a virgin until I was married. And so I obviously did not do that, but I couldn't be honest about it. And so I created stories and, again, this identity around being someone who was a good Christian girl saving herself for marriage. And I was so involved with the church. And I remember feeling quite ashamed. And it was confusing because I was in a relationship with someone who I loved and loved me, and it felt so natural and right, and it felt okay. And it didn't, in my body, it didn't feel like I was doing anything wrong. But at the same time, I felt like I was just living this lie because I'd go to church on Sunday, I'd be so involved, and it was like living two separate lives, even though I was this one person. And it was confusing and frustrating to be with that. And of course, not only did I lie about it, but I expected my partner at the time to lie as well. I didn't want anyone knowing that that's what we were doing. And I think, you know, there were a couple of people who he had told, and I got really upset about that. And again, that was based around shame. It was because I felt that I couldn't then keep up this image if anyone else found out. And, you know, that relationship ended. And in my next relationship with who became my, like, who I eventually got married to, we also had sex, and I also lied about it. And even the crazy thing is, even after we were married, the story that I hung on to was that we had waited until marriage. And it became such a pivotal part of who I was because I felt the pressure of representing my faith, of representing my church, my community, and all of this road on whether or not I waited until marriage to have sex, which in hindsight is kind of bonkers that I perceived all of this pressure. And to correct myself there, I'm not saying that I perceived something that wasn't true, because I believe 100% that it was there. I could see the condemnation towards people who were doing anything outside of what was deemed appropriate and acceptable from within the church. And the irony there is, of course, I was going to a church that preached about acceptance of you as you are, and acceptance of all people, that the church is a welcoming space. And at the same time, the truth is I never felt like I was accepted just as I was. What I felt was that there was a measuring stick and an expectation for me to be a certain way, to live a certain way. And if I wasn't doing that, that I was disappointing God. And so because my actions couldn't honestly align with what was expected of me, I felt like I had no other option but to lie about it. And so for years after I was already married, I held on to this narrative that I had saved myself for marriage. And I don't even know now. I think I've told a couple of my best friends the truth and said, actually, I want to tell you the truth about this. And it's such a weird thing to confess, I guess, to come back and go, so remember all those years where I was telling you this story? It actually wasn't true. And I remember a few years ago feeling this enormous amount of shame about having done that for so long. And ultimately, what was the result of all of these lies? Well, the truth is, no one ever saw the true me, not even me. I carried around at any point in time multiple versions of myself. And I felt like I needed to portray a particular version of Amanda depending on who it was that I was with or speaking to. And what happened there, and I think, and I really do believe that this happens to us when we aren't honest with ourselves, when we don't tell the truth, is you become disillusioned about the person that you are. And you create particular identities or masks or faces, whatever you want to call it, and you start to believe that. And that is what happened to me. I started believing that I was someone who had saved myself for marriage. I was this good Christian girl. And there was this, it's almost like I compartmentalized my brain to, although a part of me knew that that wasn't true, that I'm like, this is the story I'm going with and this is who I am. And so I'm going to act in accordance with this version of myself. And so, yeah, no one ever really got to see the true me. And I realized that I didn't even really know what it meant for me to be a true version of myself. Because how could I, if words that were coming out of my mouth were misaligned with my actions, with the truth that I knew inside, and yet this was what was coming out and what the feedback I was getting back into myself and what I was hearing were these stories, these lies. And this is really where that commitment to myself to tell the truth came from. That lie about my virginity is one that I have held on to the longest in my life. Was one that I held on to. It's no longer something that I hold on to. I don't tell that anymore. But it had such a profound impact on me, holding on to it and then releasing it and letting go and deciding that I would no longer lie about not only that, but lie about anything else. And so that's really been a huge commitment for myself. And when I made that decision to no longer lie, I realized actually how much lying had become a part of my personality, not in a way where I was trying to hurt people. The intention was never to hurt people with my lies. It often was about protecting something, protecting myself, protecting secrets, protecting a narrative, protecting an identity, protecting parts that I was ashamed of. But yeah, I realized that kind of at a core level, I had just accepted it was okay to lie about trivial things that whenever, you know, fear was involved, that I would rely on lying. And so what it looked like for me when I made that commitment was acknowledging all the ways in which that I tell lies. And I had to start with, first of all, of course, stop telling that big lie, that story about saving myself for marriage. That no longer became a thing that I shared with people. And then actually for some people, I've shared the story about how I did used to lie about it. So it was being honest about that. And then not telling quote unquote white lies. For example, making up excuses about things that aren't true or, you know, weren't true. And that was where it started. For me, tell the truth or at least don't lie. And so that's really been what I have tried to do for the past few years as much as I can. And I'm not perfect. You know, I'm sure there have definitely been times when a part of me has just come out really quick with an excuse or a little lie in a moment because I've been scared or something. And what I try to do is actually take that back, is to confess to that and say, actually, that wasn't true. And I've done that with my partner, who creates an incredibly safe space for me to do that, where I've said something and gone, actually, hold on, can I just pause there and take that back? That wasn't true. And being able to own up to those moments of untruths, I guess, has helped me to be more honest constantly. And the value of being truthful in our words and our actions and having that alignment is a deeper connection and a feeling of alignment within ourselves. Something that I realized through this commitment is I would prefer to live with the consequences of telling the truth than be rewarded for a lie. And what I realized along this journey of self-discovery, of recognizing the lack of control I have, is what is it that I do have control over? I have control over myself, my words, my actions, whether or not I share the truth. I don't have control over how another person receives something or whether they get upset or they're disappointed. And while that's extremely uncomfortable and I really don't like disappointing people still, and I might not want them to think a certain thing about me or whatever, I don't have control over that. And all I can do is show up as me. And if I want to accept myself as I am, and I want others to accept me as I am, and I want to be able to accept others as they are, then all of that relies on fundamentally being honest with who we are, which means showing up as we are, but also being accountable for the words that we say, for the lies that we tell and the truths that we tell. So that's been quite a journey in releasing and letting go of these layers of telling lies just because it's a bit easier, a bit more comfortable, and embracing the difficulties and the challenges that come with telling the truth. Now, when I woke up after coming back from the road trip and decided within myself, and I wrote about this a couple of days ago, I was like, I don't want to lie. So I'm just going to come out and be honest with it and I'll cop whatever happens. And that was really scary for me. There is a child part of me that is still terrified of getting into trouble and upsetting my parents. So being able to negotiate that within myself, regulate myself and go, hey, but you are an adult and you can cop consequences. And if, you know, they're upset about it, it's okay. Being able to navigate that within myself and decide to tell the truth was quite a growth moment for me, I think, and something that I'm grateful I, you know, had the opportunity to experience even now, because I think maybe up until a week ago, if you'd asked me, hey, how are you going with your commitment to truth telling, I would have been like, yeah, I think I'm pretty good. I don't really feel the need to lie anymore. And it's like, well, actually, I still do. There are still instinctively parts of me that want to just come out and lie reactively, but I ultimately have a choice and control over this, and I don't have to. I can choose to live within truth, and that's something that I'm embracing and would encourage everyone to embrace, because that really allows us to show up authentically. And I know that this word authenticity is really thrown out as a trendy buzzword these days. But the reality is we cannot be authentic with ourselves. We can't be the most authentic version of ourselves if we are out telling even the smallest of lies. We will convince ourselves that these lies are true. And then you don't actually know when it is that you're telling the truth. If you use your words and the words that come out might be true or they might not be, then everything kind of becomes this gray zone of not really knowing what's honest. And it, I can tell you from experience, it becomes really challenging to know what is honest inside of us. And the value I've seen for myself in making this commitment is that I am able to be really honest with myself about what I'm feeling. And when I say feeling, I mean from a somatic level, the sensations that I feel within my body, being able to notice what my emotions are and being honest and real about that. And then being truthful about the stories that I tell myself, recognizing when I am upset or when I'm not, and not just saying that things are okay when they aren't. There are just so many layers that this has impacted. And the great thing is it has allowed me to deepen and open up a space of vulnerability, not only to myself, but with other people. Just being able to show up honestly. And that's the same thing that I try to bring to this podcast as well. And to sum up this episode, what I wanted to finish on is to think about a couple of things, because I guess when it comes to telling the truth, I thought about whose responsibility is it to create an atmosphere of truth. And while I believe that the accountability ultimately comes down to the individual, it's the only thing we have control over is ourselves, and we have control over or not whether we tell the truth or not. But on the other side of that, I think about what spaces do we create, not only within ourselves, but with other people, to foster an environment of truth telling. Reflecting back on the environment that I grew up in and that surrounded me, for sure there were environments where there was no need for me to lie whatsoever. You know, people who I'd met traveling wouldn't have given two shits if I had saved myself for marriage. But the space that I was surrounded by at home and at church really wasn't a safe space for me to be myself authentically. It wasn't a space free of judgment and full of genuine love and acceptance to allow me to be honest and to just show up as me. And so there are two things that ultimately us as individuals that we have control over. First, the lies or truths that we tell to others. And secondly, the space that we create for others to encourage truth telling. And when it comes to creating space, part of my commitment to myself is I also want to be a safe space for people to be honest. And that means reminding them that they are safe to tell the truth. And the way that I've witnessed and observed my partner, for example, create a safe space for me is knowing a person and reminding them what it is that they need to hear. My partner knows that for me, there is a part that is quite afraid of getting into trouble. So one of his reminders is, hey, you're not in trouble with me. Like, you don't get into trouble with me. We're partners. There's no getting into trouble here. And his reminder of that, that is full of love and compassion and grace, really creates an incredible space for me to always be honest with where I'm at, what I'm feeling, and who I am. And if I were to look back and change any of the spaces that I grew up in, it would have been the same thing. In order to foster a safe space means being able to remind people that no matter what the truth is, no matter how hard it is to hear, it's okay. And yes, telling the truth comes with consequences sometimes. We're not denying that. And there might be some actions that need to take place, whatever it is, but that ultimately what it is that you can encourage in creating a safe space is for someone to still know that they are accepted as they are, that they won't be shunned. You know, I think a lot of the lies that we tell come from wanting to fit in or a pressure to fit in a particular way or to be a particular way, to project an image of ourselves, whatever it is, or to not disappoint people. And I think and believe that reminding people of that, reminding them that it's okay to tell the truth, that they can be honest and that it doesn't change anything. If that's true, you know, then say that. And by creating that space, we really do foster an environment of honesty. And then on the other side, being honest with ourselves and sharing the truth. And for me, those two things have been really a way that I've chosen to live my life, is to be honest with stuff, recognize that there are consequences to that. As uncomfortable as it is, I can cop it, and to know that that's ultimately all I have control over. Me, what comes out of my mouth, and the spaces that I create for other people. So I hope that you have enjoyed this episode and some secrets from the vault of Amanda. There might be people who are listening to this who are like, wow, I had no idea about any of that. So yeah, that is a part of who I am, and I'm really grateful to be in a place now within myself that I've created a safe space within myself to be honest, because I accept me as I am, and I have chosen to surround myself with people who also accept me as I am. And it's a wonderful place to be where I can show up as myself, and I hope that others around me can as well. So thank you for tuning in to this episode. I'm always keen to hear your feedback and your thoughts. If this is something that you have experienced a lot in your life, tell me about it. I am so keen to hear. Thank you for supporting the podcast by giving it a thumbs up, by hitting subscribe, by following on Spotify, wherever else you listen to your podcasts. This is available to watch on YouTube. It's also available on Spotify again and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Oh my gosh, I'm fumbling all my words. I release episodes every Thursday. Oh, and please follow me on Instagram. I'd really appreciate that. You can follow me at selfwithamanda. And yeah, new episodes every Thursday. Oh, goodness. I will see you next week. Bye.